From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other sort of information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. Indonesia, Malaysia and Thailand have finished discussing the frame of cooperation FOC in the custom, immigration and quarantine fields amid the COVID-19 pandemic and plan to endorse and adopt the partnership next year. Director of the Center for Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand Growth Triangle, CIMT, Firdaus Dahlan, made the remarks after attending the 26th meeting of IMTJT ministers held virtually on Thursday. The discussion on the partnership had come to a standstill since 2014. However, during the COVID-19 pandemic, the sub-regional partnership managed to conclude the discussion on FOCs in the customs, immigration and quarantine fields. Indonesia, Malaysia and Thailand, which shares land and sea border, established economic and trade cooperation called the Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand Growth Triangle, IMTGT, in 1993, with the aim of improving welfare and economic growth in the three countries with a total population of about 84 million. The Task Force for COVID-19 Response has said the cold chain preparation for the COVID-19 vaccine rolled out in Indonesia has reached 97% completion. The spokesperson for the Task Force, Wikuadi Sasmito, said at an online press conference from the presidential's office on Thursday, cold chain storage comprises refrigerators and freezers to store vaccine and carriers to distribute them to immunization centers, especially those located in open spaces. Essential logistics for the vaccination drive include the cold chain, a series of precisely coordinated events in the temperature-controlled environment to store, manage, and transport vaccines in order to deliver them to all parts of the world. The task force has said it will work closely with local government to prepare human resources for the vaccination program. State-run secondary mortgage firm PT Sarana Multigria Financial Persero, or SMF, disbursed loans amounting to 6.05 trillion rupiah to mortgage loan lenders, or 99.47% of the revised target of 6.08 trillion rupiah as of the third quarter of 2020. Director of SMF Anantia Wiyogo said during an online presentation on the company's third quarter performance in Jakarta on Thursday that at the end of this year, after the target revised, it will be achieved. Earlier, SMF had revised a number of performance indicators, one of which was the distribution target for loans, which was brought down from 13 trillion rupiah to 6.08 trillion rupiah, or nearly 50%. Let's move on to the international news. Indian police fired tear gas and water cannon on Thursday in clashes with several thousand farmers marching to New Delhi to protest against recent agricultural reforms. The confrontation happened when police tried to stop the farmers from the northern state of Punjab, crossing a bridge about 200 kilometers from Delhi. Armed with sticks and rocks, some of the farmers threw police barriers into the river below. The police opened fire with water cannon and tear gas, further enraging the protester. The plight of farmers is a major political issue in India, with about 70% of rural households depending primarily on agriculture. Legislation passed earlier this year means the farmers are now free to sell their produce to anyone at any price instead of two state-controlled markets at fixed rates. Italy is to offer Europe's first coronavirus-free corridor with the United States for passengers who have tested negative for COVID-19, scrapping the obligation for new arrivals to quarantine. Rome's Fiumicino Airport said on Thursday it had sealed a deal with Italian airline Alitalia and Delta Airlines of the United States for the special flights between selected North American cities and the Italian capital from next month. The move follows the launch in September of virus-free domestic flights between Rome and financial capital Milan. The airport said travelers arriving from New York's JFK Airport and those of Newark and Atlanta in the U.S. would be able to skip quarantine by doing a test 48 hours before departure and one on landing in Rome. The Iraqi military is training a former member of an Iran-backed militia who is under U.S. sanction for killing protesters to become a high-ranking officer in the army, according to six government security and military officials. They said that Hussein Faleh Aziz, known as Abu Zainab Alami, had been sent to Egypt with Iraqi officer for a year-long training normally reserved for the country's military personnel. A defense ministry document seen by Reuters showed his name with the rank major general on the list of officers attending the training until next summer, making Lami a senior officer in the army is one of the oldest moves yet by Prime Minister Mustafa al-Kadhimi, a U.S. ally, to dilute the power of Iran-backed militias in Iraq. An Iraqi government spokesman and Iranian officials could not immediately be reached for comment. Huge crowds gathered to say goodbye to Diego Maradona on Thursday, and with emotions running high, clashes between police and fans broke out near the presidential's palace in the Argentine capital, where the soccer great was lying in state. Thousands of people surrounded the pink-hued Casa Rosada, and there was a febrile atmosphere more akin to a rowdy soccer game than a formal wake, with fans clambering up the palace gates to get as close as possible to their heroes. In Argentina, 3 days of national mourning were called for the player who led the country to a 1986 World Cup win and is referred with cult-like status. Tens of thousands took the streets, not all wearing masks despite fear of over a COVID-19 pandemic, leaving flowers and messages at his childhood home. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Come. Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary on escalation of tension in the Gulf state. Last Wednesday, two Bahraini ships were accused of violating Qatari waters and causing protests from the country. While the Bahraini party considers that its ships have been intercepted and treated improperly by Bahrain. The claims and expressions of both Qatar and Bahrain cannot be separated from the tension that have occurred between the Gulf countries recently. There is even a concern that the incident at sea will worsen the situation. Qatar, which since 2017 has been boycotted by Arab countries due to its closeness to Iran, seems to yet have to wait for diplomatic relations with these two countries to improve. The signal of peace actually appeared after the signing of normalization of relations with Israel by the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain, facilitated by the United States. On one hand, Qatar, which decided to support Palestine, hopes to close its tenuous relationship with Saudi Arabia, which also supported Palestine. The situation is complicated because, on the other hand, Saudi Arabia is known to have strong economic and investment ties with the United States. Qatar itself hopes that the boycott it has felt since 2017 can end sooner. But with the incident of the Bahraini ships being accused of illegally entering Qatar, it seems that the communication of the Gulf countries is not yet harmonious. The suspicion and worries are still quite strong. Seven Arab countries, namely Kuwait, Bahrain, Iraq, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates, had all been hit hard on the economy due to the COVID-19 pandemic. However, with the increased non-oil income, these countries, especially Saudi Arabia, have become more stable at this time. Of course, the cohesiveness of fellow countries is needed to get through the crisis due to the pandemic and diplomatic relation with parties outside the group. Whether it's Iran or the United States, unfortunately, with the incident of the Bahraini ships being accused of entering Qatar's territory, it seems that tension between the Gulf countries will not end soon. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. That was commentary.
Listener, we meet again in Today in History of Voice of Indonesia. We start from a history on November 27, 1989. Avianca Flight 203 was a domestic commercial aircraft flying from El Dorado International Airport in Bogota to Alfonso Bonilla Aragon International Airport in Cali. After 5 minutes of flying at a speed of 794 kilometers per hour, the bomb exploded inside the plane. The incident occurred on November 27, 1989. All 107 passengers were killed, as well as three other people on the ground because of falling debris. According to investigations, the bomb was put by a man in a suitcase. Next turn to a story on November 27, 2005, the 23rd SEA Games was officially opened. The 23rd Southeast Asian Games 2005 were held in the Philippines from 27 of November to December 5, 2005. The 2005 SEA Games was the third Southeast Asian Nations Games to be held in the Philippines, firstly in 1981, and secondly in 1991. At the 2005 SEA Games, for the first time, the Philippines became the overall champion of the every 2 years Southeast Asian Games. We end with a story on November 27, 2009, bombing of Nevsky Express Railway. A bomb exploded on the Nevsky Express train on November 27, 2009, as the train was traveling from Moscow to St. Petersburg. The explosion occurred near the city of Balloon, about 200 miles from Moscow. The train derailed at 21:34 local time, leaving 27 people dead and 95 injured. The second bomb occurred a few days later. Although initial report blamed electrical faults, subsequent investigations indicated that the incident caused by acts of terrorism. This train bomb blast became the worst attack in Russia after the 2004 Russian plane bombing. There was today in history.
Musim pergi berganti dan ku takkan pernah berhenti berharap mentari kan bersinar lagi rubah tiap hari ku rubah sepi hatiku. Apa ini janji? Bukan cerita. Oh, kenyataannya semua karena hatimu membawa harapan. Aku yakin kau kan selalu
listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled Job Creation and Micro Small and Medium Enterprises Must Get Special Attention. Indonesian President Joko Widodo urged that job creation and increasing household consumption through the development of micro, small and medium enterprises have to receive special attention in the National Economic Recovery Program. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo when opening the limited meeting of the Committee for Handling COVID-19 and National Economic Recovery at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta, on Monday, November 23. President Joko Widodo also said, budget realization of several programs has been implemented well, such as for salary subsidies has reached 82%, productive social assistance of President for providing capital to microbusinesses has reached 79%. Nevertheless, the government encouraged that the realization of the budget continues to be increased so that it can help improving people's purchasing power. Previously, President Joko Widodo also stated that in the third quarter of 2020, the Indonesian economy had begun to recover and rise. The president quoted data from the Central Statistics Agency BBS that the national economic growth in the third quarter grew -3.49% year-on-year. This means that economic growth has increased by 1.83% in the third quarter compared to the second quarter. Nevertheless, President Joko Widodo asked the ministers not to be satisfied with these positive symptoms. The government still has to work hard to create jobs and increase the development of MSMEs on a large scale in order to be able to compete in the global market. On the other hand, the president wants a strategy to regulate balance between handling health and economic recovery. President Joko Widodo also assessed that the results of the effort so far have been to appear, especially in controlling COVID-19 and economic recovery. As of November 22, 2020, the average active case of COVID-19 throughout Indonesia was 12.78%. This figure is lower than the world average of active cases, which is 28.41%. That was my Indonesia.
Pandangan baru.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, I would like to introduce Mie Kocok. Bogor, called a city of rain, which is located not far from Jakarta. The city is also visited by many domestic and foreign tourists. If you travel to this city, please stop over to taste the local culinary. One of them is Mie Kocok. It is a noodle dish with beef broth flavor. The term kocok, which means shaking in the name of the dish, refers to the cooking process in which it is to beat the noodles in a hollow metal container with handles while dipping them in hot water. The type of noodle used is a flat yellow one whose texture is softer. Listener, Mie Kocok is very delicious when it is eaten warm. This dish is easy to find not only in Bogor City, but also Bandung City. The price is relatively cheap, about 20,000 rupiah to 30,000 rupiah per portion. Usually, this dish is sold from afternoon until evening. Well, listener, that's the end of Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Mie Kocok. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Listeners, welcome back to our segment, Miscellany. The lecture team from the Department of Visual Communication Design, 10 November Institute of Technology, succeeded in creating a card game with the theme of COVID-19 prevention called Palagan. The name Palagan is this game means battle in Sanskrit. The name was chosen because it links the ongoing condition to a battle against something that was never known before, namely the coronavirus. The game was inspired by a similar card game, namely Peel Walker Harding Susie Go Party, which was released in 2016. Palagan has 79 cards of various types, such as event cards, sports cards, protection cards, protocol cards, balance nutrition cards, kindness cards, and danger cards. In all of these cards, there is a description in the form of education on the prevention of COVID-19 transmission according to the type of activity. Palagan involves 2-5 players and has duration of approximately 30 minutes. The game begins with separating the event card from the other cards and placing it face down in the middle of the area. Afterwards, one of the players can distribute 8 cards to each of the other players. Then, one of the players can open one face-up event card. After that, all players choose one of the cards they have and place it in front of them. Next, players give all unselected cards to each other in a clockwise direction. Apart from producing game cards, Palagan can be downloaded for free via the Google Play Store. This application can be useful for clarifying the brief description on the card. It is hoped that in the future, the application will not only be able to issue a description but also be able to play the game digitally. Currently, there are more than 800 first printed Palagan card games ready to be donated to the public. Deputy Governor of East Java Province, Emil Elistianto Dardak, who was also present at the release event, welcomed this game as a learning medium for the community. That was Miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play original song in Sundanese language from West Java, entitled Daun Puspa. The song is a classical song of Sunda, which is still popular until now. The song Daun Puspa tells about the beauty of Puspa leaf, which accompanies togetherness of a couple of lovers who are falling in love. The song was composed by a well-known composer in West Java, Mang Raida. It was popularized for the first time by Cici Cangkurileng in the 1990s. Since then, many musicians from West Java rearranged the song. One of them is Anjar Buleas. This young composer rearranged some songs of West Java, which have been popular by touching of guitar acoustic. Well, listeners, here is Dwi Saparakanca and Anjar Boleas with the song entitled Daun Puspa in the version of Koplo Jaipong Acoustic. Happy listening.
Thank you. dalam sunyi ku impikanmu, ku lukiskan kita bersama, namun selalu aku bertanya, adakah aku di mimpimu? Di hatiku terukir namamu, cinta rindu beradu satu, namun selalu aku bertanya, adakah aku di hatimu? Telah ku nyanyikan alunan-alunan senduku, telah ku bisikan cerita-cerita gelapku, telah
tentang rasaku ini padamu. Ku tak ingin engkau jauh. Ku mau kamu, kamu, kamu selalu ada dalam hatiku. Ku mau kamu, kamu, kamu hiasi ruang.
Pernah berhenti berharap mentari kan bersinar lagi. Rubah tiap hariku, rubah sepi hatiku. Apa ini janji? Karena
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.